Well, what can we say? This is the day that we celebrate the greatest feat that ever occurred in all of human history, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus from the dead, the greatest feat in the history of mankind. The author, John Ortberg, he told the story of a friend of his name was also John, his friend, who used to work many years ago, back in the days when, actually, other than in the state of Oregon, because they still do this, they still pump your gas up in Oregon for you. Of course, what it costs up there, they should pump your gas. But anyway, but nonetheless, he was a denominational worker there, an official in Minnesota. And in this story that John Ortberg's friend told him, one of the jobs his friend had, and I'm going to put a picture up here of a hearse. One of the jobs his friend had was to travel to these little rural communities where they didn't have churches to do funerals. Okay? He would go out with an undertaker. They'd drive together in the undertaker's hearse. One time they were on their way back from a funeral, and it was a little bit of a drive, so his friend John asked the driver if it would be okay with him if he would just stretch out in the back of the hearse and lay there and take a nap. And the guy said, sure. And so, but what John didn't know is that soon after he fell asleep, the driver of the hearse pulled into a gas station. All right? And that was back in the days when they were still pumping gas all across the United States. And so the guy puts the thing in the nozzle into the hearse, and he's pumping gas, and all of a sudden he looks down in the back of that hearse, and there's a body laying there, which totally, John Ortberg said, he was kind of freaked out. And he said, while he was filling the tank, my friend John woke up, opened his eyes and knocked on the window, and he waved at the attendant. Ortberg said his friend John relayed to him that he had never seen somebody run as fast as that guy ran in his entire life. He just took off running. But anyway, we're here again to celebrate Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. And it was definitely the greatest feat in human history. Mark 10, that I referenced earlier, Mark chapter 10, Jesus is speaking about himself, and he made this following prediction. I alluded to this earlier. Jesus said about himself, they will mock him and scourge him and spit on him and kill him. And the third day, he will rise again. Jesus not only predicted his coming death, he predicted his coming resurrection. And the cross was no surprise to Jesus. On several occasions, he told people in no uncertain terms that he would be killed. But he also told people that he would rise from the dead 3 days later. And on that first Easter morning, when the women came to the empty tomb to anoint his body, an angel was sitting on the stone that was rolled away. And that angel said to Mary Magdalene and to the other Mary this, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said." He is risen as he said. He did exactly what he promised. And when God makes a promise, you can count on it. That's what Easter means, because Jesus raised himself from the dead. He is who he said he was. He has the power he said he had. He keeps the promises he promised to keep. Now, someone may say, okay, so he rose from the dead. He made good on his claims. So what? Why does the resurrection matter? What difference does it make 2,000 years later? Well, this morning, what I want to do is simply share with you three reasons why the resurrection does matter. Three reasons the resurrection matters. And first of all, the first reason that the resurrection matters is because my past can be forgiven because of the resurrection. The cross and the resurrection. You know, a long time ago, many of you will remember this, but you remember Columbo? It's still on TV. The show is still on TV. And Columbo wore the long trench coat, and it was always wrinkled, and it looked really kind of crummy. And he would pull out his cigar, and all the time, in every show, he was getting ready to walk out of the room, and then all of a sudden, he'd stop, and he'd turn around, and he'd pull the cigar out of his mouth. He'd say, do you mind if I ask you a question? And he'd ask a question. And he was always going to get to the truth. Well, he did that with Johnny Cash. Johnny Cash, in this one show, was the bad guy. And once Columbo figured out this out, he had Johnny Cash arrested. And Johnny Cash said to him, and I've got an actual picture from that episode, he said, "I'm glad I don't have to pretend anymore. The guilt was killing me." He had done wrong, and he knew it, and he was just so thankful that he didn't have to go around pretending anymore. He'd have to pay for his crime and deal with it. One time, a pastor received a letter from a man, and it read like this, quote, "I'm 31 years old and divorced, even though I fought the divorce bitterly. I feel bad. I have no hope for my future. Often I go home and cry, but there's no one there to hold me. Nobody cares. Nothing changes, and I continue to fail. I'm stressed out emotionally, and I feel like I'm on the verge of a collapse. Something is very wrong. But I feel so hurt and embittered that I can scarcely react or relate to others anymore." And then the letter said this, "I feel as if I'm going to have to sit out the rest of my life in the penalty box." You know what? Because all of us are human, all of us sin. The Bible tells us that. We've all failed God. It says, all have sinned, Romans 3:10. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And that's the bad news. But here is the good news, okay? Follow carefully. Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you can take," he's saying, "you could take this to the bank. You could bet your life on this. He who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life." Now, a lot of people say, "Hey, Pastor Bob, why didn't he just say whoever believes in me like he did in other places?" And I've told you this before, but I'll remind you. He who hears my word and believes him who sent me. Jesus said over and over in his life on earth, "I only do those things and I only speak those things that my Father told me to do and told me to speak. That's all I do. I am doing his will perfectly." And you know what? If you believe the Father who sent Jesus or you believe Jesus, it's one and the same. And by the way, it's the same way. If I'm quoting Jesus to you like I am now, it's the same thing. If somebody says, "I got saved on Sunday. I for the first time in my life, I understood that I would be with God forever and ever because Pastor Bob told me." Well, yeah, I read the verse, but that verse is from God. And we always want to keep that in mind. And so when Jesus says, "He who hears my word and believes him," to believe Jesus' word is to believe him. And what does he tell us? He says, "Whoever believes the one who sent me has everlasting life, shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life." Okay? So when you believe in Jesus' free gift of everlasting life, listen to me, The moment you believe, it changes your life and your eternity forever. It changes your life and your eternity the moment you believe. Now, I want to show you three things here. First, I want to show you is it changes your past. It changes your past. Look at this scripture. Jesus said, whoever believes in him has passed. What tense is that? Past tense. You've already passed. Whoever believes in Jesus has already passed from spiritual death into spiritual life. Okay, obviously we haven't literally passed into heaven yet. But we have eternal life right now, and we're going to see that in a moment. But most churches you go to, you know what they teach people? They teach people that if you live a good life, your good works will one day add up, and then you'll find out one day whether you're going to go to heaven or not with God. That's not what Jesus ever said. Jesus says you can know it right now. He says, if you believe in me, you can say, I have passed from spiritual death on my way to eternity without God, and I've passed into this realm of eternal life. So believing in Christ, believing his promise, it changes your past, but it also changes your present. What's that, Pastor Bob? Notice the present tense here. He who hears God's word and believes it has everlasting life. Did you notice that word has? Again, Jesus does not promise, if you believe in me, one day you'll get eternal life. No. He says, whoever believes in me has everlasting life. You have it the very moment you believe. Just like you pass from death into life the very moment you believe, that moment you are the owner. You are the recipient of God's kind of life. God has always existed. God always will exist. And when you believe in Jesus for that amazing gift, it's yours. You know, I don't understand why people think if they live a good life, they can get into heaven. Here's why. Then why did God send Jesus? Why did he send his son? Why didn't God just hang a billion thermometers or billions, let's say billions and billions? Why didn't he hang billions and billions of thermometers and put each of our names on one of those thermometers? And then person dies, they go up to see God, and God says, okay, let's go look at your thermometer to see how well you did. No, no, and no. Jesus, God had to send his son Jesus to this earth. God loved the world in this way, that he gave his one and only son. He sent Jesus because somebody, as we sang, somebody had to had to pay for those sins. And we can't pay for one another's sins. It doesn't work that way. We need somebody to pay. I can't pay for your sins. I'm a sinner. Somebody needs to pay for my sins. I can't pay for yours. So what God does is in his mercies and his grace, the Bible says, scarcely can you find someone who's going to die for someone else. You can't barely find that. But it says, but God demonstrated his love toward us that in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Wow. So, everlasting life, believing in Christ changes your past. You've passed from, you were in spiritual death, now you're in spiritual life. It changes your present. You have, the person who believes has, not will get, has everlasting life. And you'll be with God forever. You have him with you here. You have him with you for eternity. You're in his presence. So faith in the resurrected Christ not only changes your past, not only changes your present, it changes your future. Look at this next passage here. And it says, and shall not. See, we started with past tense. We went to present tense. And now we got a future tense. You shall not, in that future day, you shall not come into judgment. You'll never, listen to me. Anyone who has said, I'm believing not in my own good deeds. I'm not believing in my church attendance. I'm not believing in the fact that I got baptized at some point. I'm believing in the very promise of Christ. I'm believing in him for everlasting life. And the moment I believe in him for everlasting life, he has promised me, I've passed from spiritual death into spiritual life. I have everlasting life, and I will never stand before him for the determination of my eternal destiny. That will not occur to any person who in one moment, one second in time, the lights went on and said, oh my goodness, I don't save myself by good deeds. I get saved through God's mercies and grace, and he gives me. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, the gift of God, el regalo de Dios, is vida eterna. It's everlasting life. The gift of God is everlasting life. It's a gift. Everlasting life isn't something you earn. You work at your job and you earn because you work. But the Bible says, to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. To the one who does not work, but believes. All right? You'll never stand before God in judgment regarding your eternal destiny. Why? Because it's already settled. You have everlasting life. Look at Jesus. Look at how Jesus spoke to his apostles, his disciples. Listen how he spoke. They were all pumped up because they cast out demons and were healing people at one point. Jesus gave them the authority to do it. And they came back and said, Lord, we cast out demons. We heal people, Lord. And Jesus says, don't rejoice because you've cast out demons, but rather rejoice because your names are written down in heaven. They're written in what's called, the Bible calls it, the Lamb's Book of Life. And by the way, when all of the people, according to the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 20, when all the people stand before God one day who have never believed the promise of Christ, when they stand before him, they are not condemned because they've sinned. They are condemned because their name, the Bible says, their name is not found written in the book of life. Wow. They lack eternal life. They lack God's kind of life. All right. Hey, have any of you ever had one of these? An Etch-a-Sketch? How many of you never had an Etch-a-Sketch? Okay. All right. All right. Well, Missouri. Of course you didn't have an Etch-a-Sketch. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, what happens if you're doing... Now, by the way, I looked at some pictures that people have done on an Etch-a-Sketch. They blow your mind. They look like Rembrandt, man. I mean, they do every little pixel. They knew beforehand where they were going with that because you have to stay on a line, right? You can't let go of that line. But listen, they have the Mona Lisa. They've got oh, my goodness, they got pictures. It boggles your mind. In fact, you can't really see. This guy's drawing a unicorn. And that's really great, but I mean, they got ones where every pixel is either colored or not, and it's just mind-blowing. But if you ever mess up, what you can do, an Etch-a-Sketch, you just take it, turn it over, turn it back, and then start all over. And so Jesus' words, everybody, Jesus' promises to us are like an Etch-a-Sketch. You mess up, but God says, I know you messed up. That's why I sent my son. And what I want to do is I want to give you eternal life. So let's start all over. If you believe in me, your sins will be white as snow. Wow. Awesome. And you know what? I was almost 19 when I put my faith in Jesus. I went to church every week of my life. I mean, I was in church. But finally, when I got to the welding factory, friends that I worked with, they began to ask, hey, Bob, are you sure you're going to heaven? No. I'd like to be, I'm not sure. And man, thank God for those co-workers. Thank God. I was trying to get jobs all over Chicago in all these steel mills and factories after I finished my first year in college. Couldn't get a job. I'm like, what? They have signs. You know, we have jobs here. Okay? But finally, my friend told me, hey, the factory I'm working at's hiring everybody. And so I went down there and got a job welding railroad cars. And thank God that God got me into that factory, because I heard the promise of Jesus for the first time in my life. It blew me away, and I have never been the same. So number one, the resurrection matters to you and I. Why? Because our past can be forgiven. But number two, and oh man, this is awesome. This is awesome. Number two, the resurrection matters because my present can be victorious. My present can be victorious. Oh my goodness. You know, one of the things that many, many, almost all pastors at some point in time hear people say are things like this. My life is out of control. I feel powerless to change my situation. I feel powerless to change my marriage. I feel powerless to overcome this bad habit. I feel powerless to get out of debt. And when people say that to pastors, what pastors need to share with them is that you need a power that's greater than yourself. Nobody on this earth was meant to live life on earth apart from God's help, to live life on their own power. So listen to this, everyone. The person who believes in Jesus for his gift of eternal life, they not only get their past all fixed, all the things they've done, past sins, present sins, future sins, whew, thrown in the bottom of the ocean, as it were. You don't need to get that fixed. You get life right now in the here and now. You know, Peter Lord, with his peculiar voice, he used to say, people always talk about the sweet by and by. What I want to know about is how to fix the nasty now and now. He's right. He's right. God's power. You not only get eternal life when you believe in Jesus, but guess what? You get access to God's power plant. You get access to his strength, his power, his amazing help. God will hold your hand. You become a child of God, God will hold your hand through the pathways of life. He'll walk with you. And as the old hymn said, he'll walk with me and talk with me along life's merry way. And it's not always merry. But he'll walk with you down the road of life if you let him. Once you believe what he says about eternal life, you can believe in him now for help, for power, for strength to overcome the things that are holding you down. Okay? Ephesians 1 tells us about this power. Ephesians 1 tells us that God's power, the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. See there? You don't access the power plant until you believe in Christ for everlasting life. First things first. First, we want to get our sins forgiven, get a home in heaven. And second, we want to get his power. The exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. All right? Notice that. His power toward us who believe. He's got power for us. His mighty power, it's called mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Wow. I can tap into the same power that God used to raise Jesus from the dead? Exactly. And that's a lot of power, okay? It'll be there. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead will be there to help you to rise above your problems. The same power that God used to resurrect his son is available to you right now. You know, none of us knows what the future holds. We don't know what's going to happen next year, next month, next week. But it doesn't matter that we can't know that. Because even though it's out of our control, it is not out of God's control. He will give you and I the power to face any and everything that comes our way. He will give you and I the power if we avail ourselves of his power. It's not like waving a magic wand. Lord, I've got this problem and I need you to fix it tonight. And it's gone. No, no, no. Sometimes Satan will grab onto even followers of Jesus, even children of God, and he'll hold on for dear life. But if that child of God continues to seek God, continues to cry out in him for prayer, continues to open his word and let it do the work that only his word can do, we can have victory now in Jesus. No problem's too big for God. No situation is too hopeless for him. If you'll turn it over to him, put it in his hands and say, Lord, I am going to seek you, and I am going to seek you, and I am going to seek you, and I am going to seek you until you deliver me from this habit, from this relational dysfunction, from this. And you see God, God will come to your rescue. Because that last verse I showed you, oh, it's already up there. He's got exceedingly great power. And it's toward us who believe. It's there. It's one of his riches in Christ. Listen to this poignant story. In 2013, author and pastor Rick Warren and his wife Kay went through a devastating loss when their 27-year-old son Matthew took his own life after battling depression as well as mental illness for nearly his whole life. They knew that he had a big, big problem, and they did everything they could. They did everything they could. About a year after this tragedy, Pastor Rick said, I've often been asked how I made it. I've often been asked how I made it. How have you kept going in your pain? And I've often replied, the answer is Easter. The answer is Easter. He said, quote, you see, the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus happened over 3 days. Friday was the day of suffering and pain and agony. Saturday, he's in the tomb, was the day of doubt and confusion and misery. The disciples said, the one that we thought was going to save all of Israel has been killed. They were full of agony, misery, and doubt. Friday was the day of suffering. Saturday was the day of doubt and confusion. But Rick Warren said, but Easter, Resurrection Sunday, was the day of hope and joy and victory. And he continues. And here's a fact of life. Listen carefully, everyone. Here's a fact of life. You will face these 3 days over and over in your lifetime. And when you do, you'll find yourself asking three fundamental questions. Number one, what do I do about Fridays? What do I do about the days of my pain? Two, how do I get through my Saturdays, my days of doubt and confusion? Three, how do I get to the days of joy and victory? Sunday, the answer to all of these questions is the same. Easter, Easter, Easter. The answer is the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, everyone. The resurrection matters, first of all, because my past can be forgiven. Second of all, because it matters. It matters because my present can be victorious. And finally, oh, I had that to put up there for you. Sorry about that. See what happens when you get embroiled in your own message here. Okay, number three. The resurrection matters because my future can be secure. Future, past, present, future. The resurrection speaks to all of those. One of the universal problems we've all got is death. So we're going to talk about this. Everyone is born and everyone dies. Now, I know in history there have been some people that haven't died. Okay, like Elijah never died. Elijah never died. Lazarus died once. Jesus resurrected him. Then he died again. Ooh, that's a rough one. You have to die twice. Oh, my. But there have been people. Enoch. I remember, I just thought of Enoch. Enoch walked with God, and the Lord took him. It was like an Old Testament rapture. And we've got to face it. We've got to face it. What is that? Everyone will die one day. Every one of us. Okay? And we don't even know when. You know, one thing that blows me away all the time, I always see in the papers these actors and actresses in Hollywood. And you know what? I can't believe. Now, I know sometimes they OD and things like that, and some of them just commit suicide. But I can't believe I just see people over and over. They're not old, man. They are young, man. They're like, well, of course, I say young, 54. Just see recently, 54, 47, 30. You know, it just blows my mind. But everybody, you know, Dick Van Dyke's 100 years old. But you know what? One day he's going to die. I mean, you can't live forever down here. But guess what, everybody? You do not have to fear. When you lay your pillow, excuse me, when you lay your head on your pillow at night, you do not have to worry whether if you don't wake up, whether you're going to be with God or not. You do not have to worry about that because Jesus has made promises. And when Jesus makes a promise, the Bible says God cannot lie. And I want to give you one more scripture and then a final story that I think you're going to really like. You can claim the promises Jesus made like this one. Jesus told Martha, whose brother had passed away just 4 days earlier. He said to Martha, Martha, I am, notice, I am, not I will be. I love that. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, is that spiritual or physical? He who believes in me, though he may die, well, if he's talking about being the resurrection first, he starts with I am the resurrection, and then I am the life. So if he's talking about I am the resurrection, he's saying, whoever believes in me, though he may die physically, like we all will, he shall live. One day, you and I who have believed in Jesus are going to be resurrected. Whoever believes in me, though he dies physically, will live because I am the resurrection. But notice what else he says to Martha. Notice, and whoever, notice that, whoever. Did you see that? You could put your name in there because Jesus just said, whoever lives, whoever is alive, you can't wait till you die. Whoever lives and believes in me. You say, well, I'm just going to wait till I die and then I'm going to believe. No, no, no. Jesus says, whoever lives, whoever is alive and believes in me shall never die. Question. Physically? They'll never die physically or they'll never die spiritually. Which one is it? Spiritually, because he's the resurrection, a believer will not die physically. I mean, because they're going to be raised. Okay, let's see. Though he may die. If they die, you'll be raised. I had that twisted in my head. He who believes me, though he dies physically, will live. They'll be resurrected. Whoever is alive and believes in me will never ever die spiritually. You'll never go to the place with no air conditioning. Okay? You won't ever go there. Why? Because Jesus promised the believer that. Look at that. And whoever lives and believes in me, whoever is alive and believes in me, shall never die. Hey, did you know in Greek what the word never means? It means never. You'll never die. You'll never die spiritually. It's impossible because Jesus says you can't. Once he saves you, once he forgives you, you say, yeah, but I sin again. Yeah, but he took care of past, present, and future sins on the cross. Jesus paid it all. That's why he said, tetelestai, it is finished. I did my Father's will, and all sin has been atoned for. Glory to God. So he makes these claims to Martha, and then he turns to her, and notice he says this, do you believe this? Martha said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ. I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. She was believing in Jesus' promises there. She believed that he was the Messiah who would make good on his promises. And that's what it means to believe in Jesus as the Messiah. You are believing that he is the guarantor of your forever life, the guarantor of eternal life. Okay, a final story and then some prayer. There was a woman one time who was diagnosed with a terminal illness. She was given 3 months to live. And as she was getting things together for her soon homegoing to be with the Lord, she called the pastor and she said, hey, pastor, I want to go over my funeral with you. She was all alone. And she said, I want to talk to you about the songs that I want sung, the scriptures I want read, what outfit I'm going to wear in the casket when they take my body and put it in the casket, get it ready for the funeral. And finally, she said, pastor, one of the things I want to be buried with is my favorite Bible. And so the pastor went over all this with her, and then it was time for him to leave. And, you know, he prayed with her, and as he was getting ready to go out the door, she was sitting there at the dining room table, and she said, pastor, wait, there's one more thing. There's one more thing I want. And she said to him, he said, well, what do you want? And she said, when I'm put in the casket, I want the undertaker to put a fork in my right hand. To put a fork in my right hand. Now, the pastor just stood there for a second, and he said, why do you want them to put a fork in your right hand? And she said, quote, in all my years of attending church socials and potluck dinners, whenever the dishes of the main course were being cleared, someone who was picking up the dishes would inevitably lean over. I'd be ready to give them my spoon, my knife, my fork. They would lean over and say something like, oh, keep your fork. Keep your fork. She said, it was my favorite part of the meal, pastor, because I knew something wonderful was coming. I knew something wonderful was coming, like velvety chocolate cake or deep dish apple pie. And then the lady concluded. She said, so when people see me in that casket, pastor, with a fork in my hand, and they ask you, what's with the fork? I want you to tell them, keep your fork. The best is yet to come. And my friends, there's a reason that the Apostle Paul said, for me, he was a believer, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Paul knew that he was going to be executed. He knew he was going on the chopping block. They were going to slice his head off. But he could say from jail, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Look, you want to kill me, Rome? You want to take my life from me? Hey, you're not taking my life from me. You're giving me what I've been looking forward to for decades. I can't wait. And that's the reason that we always ought to keep the fork. because Friday had come for Jesus, but Sunday was a coming. And you know what? We're going to die one day. Yes, death is on the agenda, but one day we will be in the presence of Jesus. The Bible says for believers, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The moment, and apparently you get an angelic escort. Believers in Christ, angels come and they escort us into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? It's going to be a glorious day. It's going to be a wonderful day. But let me just say this, just before I pray for every one of you. I want to pray for everyone here, as well as your children. If you have never in your life ever been 100% certain that you would be with God, then you need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for his gift of everlasting life. He'll give it to you the very second you believe him. You don't have to take your wallet out and say, "Oh, hey, Lord, how much do I owe you?" No. What do I need to do, Lord? What hoops do I need to jump? No. He already did all the work. It is finished. The work for our eternity was already paid. Now he's just waiting to see on this entire earth since Adam and Eve until this very moment. Now, I don't want to get off on a rabbit trail, but some people say, well, how did Adam and Eve get saved? Jesus hadn't even died yet. They didn't even know about Jesus. Hey, listen, God made sure. He either had prophets that shared. God walked with Adam and Eve in the garden. God himself could tell Adam and Eve. Okay? He might have even given them a heads up. He might have told them before they ever sinned, hey, one day you're going to take a bite of that apple and you're going to sin, but don't worry, I got you covered. Because one day I'm going to send my son and he's going to pay for the sins of the whole world. Whoever believes in him has everlasting. That's how Old Testament saints. They looked forward to the coming Savior. We look back to the Savior who has already come. But same way, every single person that will be with God has always been saved the same way, by grace through faith in his promise. So my friends, if any of you are here today, I just beg you, if you've never been sure, if you've said, well, like me at that factory, Bob, are you sure you're going to be with God forever and ever? No, but I hope so. That's all I had growing up was hope so. I hope my good outweighs my bad. I hope I'm doing this right. I hope I'm loving other people. I hope I'm loving God. Yeah, no. We cannot save ourselves. Nothing we do other than what Jesus said, whoever believes in me has everlasting life. You're believing in him for that gift that will last you forever. The moment you believe in him, that very moment, you have passed from death into life. Let's bow our heads for prayer and we'll close with a video. Very wonderful video. Father, we pray right now. Thank you for our Lord Jesus, Lord. Thank you for his death and resurrection. I thank you for all of God's people who have come here today to hear from you. But Lord, of course, Lord, we not only pray for those who have believed in the past, all of us need prayer. But for all those who have not quite understood your truth, they had not understood that you paid for all of it and you're just waiting to believe, for them to believe. And so, Father, I pray for everyone here in this sanctuary. Lord, maybe only you know some of the troubles and pains that people are going through, and they needed to hear that, Lord, your power is available, that your strength. And so, Lord, I just pray for your people. Ask you, Lord, to bless them this coming week, Lord. Jesus, pray for their children, family. Lord, everyone needs prayer. Everyone needs you. So I put them into your good hand. And Lord, we just pray right now that just before we leave, you'll work in our hearts and lives and just use this simple video, Lord. And we pray it in your precious name for your sake. Amen.